We'll be studying Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's just review the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis outside that's relevant to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We have one Braisa that says that from an extra ribuy in the Pasuk of Umala Mal Bashem, we will derive the conclusion that If a shomer is machish bepikadon and he takes a shvua to that effect, then for violating that isa shvua, he'll be chayav karban v'asham. And the ribui tells me even if it's a case of kachim kalim, meaning that he was in charge of someone's behemas kachim kalim, behemas shlomim. And the reason why this is considered a kichesh ba'miso is because the mafkid is considered the bailim over the hegdesh, over the korban shlomim. And that's quoted in the price in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. On the other hand, we have a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, and the Mishnah says that with regard to a bechor, which likewise has the status of kachim kalim, is mochrin oso. We can sell it, and then it says mekadshim bo es ha'isha. But all this applies, according to the Mishnah, only if it is a balmum. But if it's not a balmum, it's a behemoth kadshim atama, then the kedushin is invalid. How do we reconcile these two Tanaic sources, the Braisa and the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah is working with the premise that Behemoth Kodshim is not Momen Bailim. If it was Momen Bailim, then the Kedushin with this Behemoth Shlomim, in this case with this Bechor, would be valid. Now, the approaches of Rav Nachman and Ravina to reconcile these theories are in a sense obviating, circumventing the simplest approach, the straightforward approach. One could have argued that the Braisa of Vekichesh Bepikadon, that Braisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Mishnah in Maaser Sheni of Bechor, invalidating the Kedushin, represents the Shita of the Chachamim. That could have been the way to reconcile these two. Alternatively, one could have said that the Braisa of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is limited to kichesh bepikadon. That's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. And the reason for kofer bepikadon to be chayav is because of an extra ribui in the pasuk. But as a universal rule, maybe Rabbi Yossi Aglili would admit that enoch inami, you cannot consider hegdesh momen bailim. Now, Rav Nachman's answer, which we saw on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, is to assume that the Mishnah of Bechor is talking about a Bechor Bizman Azeh, as opposed to a Bechor Bizman Beis HaMikdash, and the difference being that in the first case, Bizman Azeh, it's not Chazi Lakrova, it's not Roy Lakrova, there is no Beis HaMikdash. Mashenkin, in contrast, at the time the Beis HaMikdash is alive and well, the Bechor is Chazi Lakrova, and then it's not considered Mamon Kohen. Ravina, also on the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, offers a different answer. His answer is that although Kodshim Kalim are considered Momen Bailim, in the case of the Bechor, we're talking about Bechor Chutzlachts. So whether or not you could be Mekadish and Isha with a Bechor would depend upon Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlachts. And Ravina is also using a similar logic to that of Rava. The overlap is that based on the sheet of Rav Shimon, Ravina is saying that a Bechor and Chutzlachts, L'chatchila, we don't send it to Eretz Yisrael for Akrova. And in such a case, Rav Yossi insists that it's Mamon Bailim. Now the Gemara says the following. And this is the last piece on Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, V'yim Isa, D'chi Omer Rav Yossi Aglili, Mamonohu Michayim. If Rav Yossi Aglili had indeed in the Brisa of Shavuos HaPikudon expressed a universal rule that Hegdesh, in the case of Kochim Kalim, is Mamon Bailim, and Shavuos HaPikudon was just one expression of that, it's fair to assume that the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili would disagree. They would maintain that Kochim Kalim is considered Mamon Hegdesh. Mamon Gavoah. It's not Mamon Bailim. And that's even Biyodim Chaim. I mean, if it's after Shechita, then everybody agrees that it's Mishulchan Gavoah Kazoch, that we saw. And basically, we had Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan understood that this was the subject of a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and the Chachamim. Whereas Rabbi Yossi HaGlili on the one hand is of the opinion that Kochim Kalim is Mamon Bailim, the Chacham disagree. So then the question is, why did Ravina feel compelled to tell us that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is the author of this Mishnah, or his sheet is reflected in the Mishnah Maaser Sheni, and the Bechor is a Bechor of Chutzlaretz? In other words, the simple answer would have been, as we indicated earlier, that the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni reflects the sheet of the Chachamim. But it would seem, therefore, from our analysis of Ravina, the Ravina basically agrees that as a rule, as a universal rule, Kochim Kalim, even according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, is not Mamon Bailim. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is only talking about the case of Shavuos HaPikudon. And if the Mishnah says that there is some sort of Mamon Bailim in Bechor, it's got to be Bechor Chutzlaretz. That's the approach of Ravina. And this is what the Gemara is going to formulate now. We start the Shir on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says the following. Lishnei ha Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Veharabonon. Ravina could have given the easy answer that the Braisa, which assumes that Kochim Kalim is Mamon Bailim, that Braisa reflects even Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaim, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, whereas Rav Nachman, who interprets the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni that you cannot be Mekadesh and Isha with Bechor, That reflects the sheet of the Rabbanon, who hold a Kochim Kalim, at least when it's Royal Akrova, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, is Mamon Gavoah. Ravina didn't offer that answer. And that proves that Ravina is of the opinion that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili was talking about Mamon Bailim in Kochim Kalim only with regard to the parasha of Shavuos HaPikudon. That's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. And therefore Rav Nachman and Ravina, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, did not have the luxury, the option of answering, of reconciling the Braisa of Shavuos HaPikudon with the Mishnah Maaser Sheni in the most simple way to say, Ha Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Ha Rabbanon. Because basically these Amoraim, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, put Rabbi Yochanan on the back burners for a moment, these Amoraim are of the opinion that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili's Mamon Bailim is only a special halacha in the case of Shavuos HaPikadon. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, let's pick up Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, he understood that the Mishnah and our Mishnah, for example, as far as Mazik is concerned, reflects the universal principle of Rabbi Yossi Agli, the universal understanding of Rabbi Yossi Agli, not that it's a special, exceptional halacha, unique to Shavuos HaPikadon, but that it's a universal halacha that Kodshim Kalim, during the life of the animal, is considered Mamon Bailim. And therefore, it's considered Sharei Ehu. And therefore, there should be a valid Kiddushin with Kodshim Kalim, like, for example, Bechar. And this is true even when it's Roi Lakrova. So now, we're going to have to understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is it that Bechar is different, and the Mishnah with regard to Bechar reflects the view that as long as the Bechar is Roi Lakrova, Ein mekadshim bo sa isha, and the Gemara suggests matnos kahuna kaamrit. When we talk about bechar and its definition, we're talking about a gift to the kohen. And matnos kahuna shiny matnos kahuna dechika zachu mishulchan gavar kazachu. Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the way Rabbi Yochanan understood him as a universal rule, that kodshim kalim, even when the roi lakrova is considered moment bailim, the exception to that rule is matnos kahuna, because there clearly even michayim it's considered moment gavoa, and that's something that we indicated within the context of Rav Nachman Ravina earlier. So when Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that kodshim kalim is Momen Gavoah, that's not Matnas Kahuna. That's like a Korban Shlomim. The Behema used to be, before it became sanctified and consecrated as Shlomim, it was his own Bailim. It was his own possession. It was his personal animal like any other animal that he owned. Now he was Magdishit, and he didn't take it out of his Rishus, out of his Bailus, and he's not owning it Mitzad Shulchan Gavoah, because even after he was Magdish, it's still considered Mamono. It's his Mamoni as Bailus until he's Makriv it. Bechar, when it's born in Chutzlarts and it's not Roi Lakrova, here too Rabbi Yossi Agli is of the opinion that it's Mamon Bailim, as we saw in the answer of Ravina. And in the case of Bechar Be'eretz Yisrael, which is Roi Lakrova, even Lechatchil, of course, then that's considered a different category. That's Matnas Kahuna. That's Mishulchan Gavoa Ka'asi, Kazachu. That's similar to Kodshim Kalim after Shechit, if you remember what we discussed yesterday. And even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree that you cannot be Mekadosh and Isha with Matnas Kahuna, with a Bechar in Eretz Yisrael, with Roi Lakrova. That's clearly Mishulchan Gavoah Kazach, that's Mamon Gavoah. Now, in the Brice of Shavuos HaPikadon that we've been discussing for a while now, the Gemara says the following, Gufa, let's look at that Brice. We've been focused on the Reisha of the Brice, expressing the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Umola Mal Bashem L'Rabos Kodshim Kalam Shei Mamono, Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Let's read the next part of the Braisa. Ben Azai Omer, apparently expanding and embellishing on Rav Yossi Aglili, L'rabos es hashlomim, that this pasuk is teaching us that kodshim kalim are mamon bailim, and that's the classical case, the prototype of that is shlomim. And we're going to see soon exactly what he's coming to exclude when he says the Rabbos Sashlomim. Abba Yossi Ben Dostoy, he seems to disagree with the words of the Tanakhama, as Ben Azai was quoted by the Tanakhama. Omer lo Amar ben Azai ela bibchar bilvat. When ben Azai explained the drasha and the shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili of Umolam Abal Kachim Kalim Mamono, and according to the presentation, the Tanakhama ben Azai understood that that was shlomim. No, it's only bichar. Bichar is mom and bailim. And we're going to soon see exactly what Abba Yossi is coming to exclude. Omar Mar, ben Azai omer l'rabos es ha-shlomim l'mu'utei mai, which karbonos is he coming to exclude? Ilema l'mu'utei bichar, if you're going to tell me we're talking about the bichar in Chutz Laretz, and that's not considered mom and bailim, is hashta umashlomim shem teunim smicha unesachim utnufas chazav eshok amrit mom and bailim ubechar mi boy. It's illogical to assume that whereas shlomim, according to Ben Azai, in the framework of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is mom and bailim, but bechar and chutzot is not mom and bailim. I mean, after all, Bechar has a lot less of the kedusha of the gavoa element than shlomim. In other words, if we want to compare and contrast shlomim to bechar, we're talking about bechar and chutz laretz, then obviously if you're willing to go as far, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as far as saying that shlomim is considered mom and bailim, how much more so bechar is considered mom and bailim? I mean, look at the kiyumim and the mitzvos that apply to the avodas hakarma in the case of shlomim. You're talking about smicha, you're talking about niske yayin on the mizbeach, you're talking about minchas nechosim, nesachim, excuse me, you're talking about tenuvas soda chazav eshok. Is despite all this, Rabbi Yossi insists, based on the pasuk of Umol of Amal, that it's mom and bailim. Is how much more so in the case of Bechar? It's certainly considered mom and bailim. Ela Omer Rabbi Yochanan, what did Ben Azai have in mind? Limute maser behema. Now, it's even though maser behema is kachim kalim, nevertheless, it's not mom and bailim, kidisanya, like we learned in a braisa. Bibchar nemar, or we'll read the whole pasuk. Ach bichar shar, o bichar kesev, o bichar eiz lo sifte kodesh heim. So the pasuk is telling you that there's no pedia with regard to a bichar, and therefore what he has to do is he can sell it as if it were basar chulin, and there's no lav of lo yimkar. Vinimkar tam chai, he can sell it even if it's not a balmum. There's no blemish. The buyer is going to be makriv this bechar on the mizbech in the Beis HaMikdash, or he's going to have to wait until it receives a mum, a blemish, and then he'll eat it b'kedusha. But let's say it was shechted b'chutz, then it has the din of kodshim shenishkatu b'chutz, and it's osur b'anah. The balmum, if this b'char has a mum to it, then he's allowed to sell it chai, u'shachut. All that is true with regard to b'char. So then, what we're saying is that in the case of b'char, he can sell the bechar. But balmum, I'm sorry, excuse me, but maiser behema, nemer, the Torah says, lo yigal. And the Gemara uses this for gzeirah shava from Cherme Kohen, and there also it says, lo yimachar v'lo yigal, lo yigal. And just like there's an isa mechira in the case of Cherme Kohanim, so too in Maisa Behemoth is an Issa Mechira. Ve'no nimkar lo chai, v'lo shochut, lo tam, v'lo balmum. This Issa is absolute, straight across the board. This is what Ben Azai meant when he said that a person cannot sell something other than shlomim, right? Larabos hashlom to the exclusion of ma'isa behem, because in ma'isa behem, even though it's shlomim, the Torah imposed an isa mechira in the case of ma'isa behema, and this itself is going to teach us that there's no din of momen bailim with regard to ma'isa behema. Now the Gemara quotes Ravina's understanding of this brisa. Ravina masnile asefa. Ravina shifts our whole discussion in our sugya over to the sefer this brisa. Abba Yossi ben Dostoy omer lo omer ben Azay ela bibchor bilvad. When does ben Azay, says Abba Yossi, insist that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, momen Kachim Kalv is Momin Bailim, that's only with regard to Bechar. Lemute Mai, Ilem Lemute Shlomim. It can't be to exclude Shlomim. Because Hashtema Bechar, Shekadosh Mirechem. In other words, you never owned the Bechar. From the moment it was Peter Rechem, it was Kadosh. And nevertheless, Mamonohu, because it's only Kachim Kalim, is Shlomim, which initially was yours, and then you were magdish it prepare, is me boy, how much more so that it's mom and bailim? So it's not possible, therefore, to assume that the intention of Abba Yossi ben Dostoy, when he said shlomim was to exclude shlomim, because if bechar, which is Kodesh Mirechem, is considered Momen Bailim, according to Rabbi Yosef, and then how much more so Shlomim, which requires Kiddush Per. On Rabbi Yochanan, what was the intention of Abba Yossi? Lim'ute Meiser Behema. Kedisnanya, we learned in the Braisa, B'b'char Nemer Lo Sifte, Nimkar Tom, V'nimkar Tom Chai, U'balmum Chai, V'shochut, period. Ubemaser nemar lo yigal. Vieno nimka lo chai lo shochet lo tam lo balmum. So since Maisa Behema has this chumra that the Torah imposed upon it, that you cannot sell it, therefore even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree that it's considered momen gavoa. The Gemara raised the following objection. Ha bechar bilvad ka'omar. After all, Abba Yossi said that when Ben Azay formulated his explanation of Yosef Glili, it was only with regard to Bechar, which would seem to exclude all of Kachim Kalim, other than Bechar. So some sort of special din in Bechar. Kash. So the Gemara says that's a question on Ravina. Now at this point, the Gemara goes back and revisits the language of the Mishnah, because the Gemara wants to quote Rav as a dissenting interpretation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're only chayv on a hezek, which is nechasim she'ein bahem me'ila. And we understood that even though it was kachim, in this case kachim kalim, nevertheless, if it doesn't have me'ila, then that's enough to engender the din of Shor Re'ehu, according to Rabbi Yosef Glidus Mom and Bailim, and therefore Yechayv and Ezekin. Rava Omar, Rava has a different understanding of the Mishnah, much more difficult, but he says Nechasim Shem Bem Me'ila is Nechasim Shem Bem Din Me'ila. In other words, Din Me'ila means it has no status as Hegdesh, U'mayniu Dehejot, it means privately owned Chulin. But Kachim Kalim, even though there's no Me'ila, but nevertheless there's a din of Kedusha L'Shamayim, that is itself is enough to remove the status of Shorei Eyu and eliminate any Chiyuv Masik. So the Gemara says, V'lisni Dehejo. Why wasn't the Mishnah outspoken about this? It could have used a much clearer formulation which would not lead to any ambiguity. It should have said that you're only chayv in the zikah for hejot, for moment hejot. And that's exactly the shita of Rava in our Mishnah, Kasha. And the Gemara says that we don't have an answer to that question. Now, until now, we've been discussing Kachim Kalim on the victimized part of the scale of the equation, meaning that a shar shel hedjot, injured a shar that was kodesh kachim kalim lemizbeach. Now the Gemara wants to know the flip side. Omar Rav Abba shlomim shehi ziku. What's the deal if the behemas shlomim was mazik? And now in this case, assuming the shar shel shlomim was a shar tam, the halach of shar tam is that you go where you collect compensation for the nezek from the goof of the shar, meaning up to the ceiling value, market value of the shar, but not min aliyah, not above that. How do we apply that in this case of a shar tam of shlomim that was mazik? And Rabbi Abba formulates it this way: mibsaram gove mibsaram v'ena gove mi'imurehem. You can collect from the basar hakarban. Again, it's only after the hakrav, of course, but you cannot be gove from the emurim. The emurim have a din that they have to be muktarim al gabi mizbeach, and therefore you cannot collect from emurim. The Gemara says pshita, emurim legavoa salki. The emurim are designated to be burnt on the mizbeach. How's that have a meaning that the nizak would be able to collect from the emurim? Lo tzricha legova mibsarim keneged emurim. That in terms of the value that you could be gover, let's include the emurim in the value. Again, lamaisa in the collection is only going to be mibsaron, because the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach. But nevertheless, we can let's say, for example, the basar was worth 50, and the emurim were worth 50, so we can calculate 50 plus 50, and the shartam of shlomim would have to pay half on the first three negichos, would have to pay half, but we're adding the value of the emurim. And this question about adding the value of the emurim perhaps touches on the difference between the maisa hezek and the gvias hezek, meaning the maisa hezek was done by the shartam, in this case the shar shel heg, the shar shel shlomim, and although later on we're going to be makriv this shlomim as a carbon, it'll be emurim that a muktarim al gabim mizbeach, but the entire shar was responsible for the maisa hezek, obviously. And therefore, when we calculate and evaluate how much money the nizak could collect from this shar, that value should reflect the emurim as well. And kabashman know that when we evaluate chatzi nezek, which is considered migufo in the case of a shartam, we're limited to the gvia itself. No, it's chatzi nezek means migufo shel shar mazik, and the guf of the shel shar mazik is whatever is collectible. Obviously, the emurim are not collectible because they have to be burnt on the mizbeach. Fine. Now the Gemara wants to know, why can't the nizak actually collect from the chelik abasar of the bailim? And the Gemara says that logically we could argue, since the basar emurim were part of the shar mazik, it's almost like you have a partnership here between the basar ashar and the emurim, then at least in terms of the collection, there should be collection from emurim as well. Which means the value of the emurim, keep in mind, because the emurim per se will be burnt on the mizbeach. And the Gemara, in using this vision, this conceptual understanding of basar and emurim as if there were two partners in the hezek, the Gemara suggests that perhaps this is a mirror image of a machlokas tanoim in a braisa later on in Masechta Bava Kama Daf Nun Gimel, where there are two participants in a hezek. There are two mazikim, two partners in a hezek. And this is the case where Reuven Shar pushes, let's say, Shimon Shar into Levi's bar. And the Hezek is a combined partnership of Reuven Shar and Levi's bar. And here we have a machlokus between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim. Rabbi Nosson is of the opinion that we divide the payment amongst the two. So for example, let's say the Shar was a Shar Muad. He's going to pay the Nizak Chatzi Nezek, the Balabor pay the other half of Nezek. If the Shar Hamazik of Reuven was a Tam, then he's going to pay one quarter of the Nezek, and the Balabor pays three quarters of the Nezek. That's according to Rabbi Nosson. And the Chachamim say that the Balabor is completely potter, because the Shar was the active agent of Hezek, and the Shar was Dochev, and has to pay, whether it's a Muad, Nezek Shalim, a Tam Chatzi Nezek, but the Tashlum and Ezekin are not collectible from the Balabor. So the Gemara now analyzes our question of Basar and Imurim from the perspective of the Machlokas, Rabbi Nosson and Chacham. I'll leave it to man. According to which opinion did Rabbi Abba say that the Nisa cannot collect from his chelek in the Emurim? I'll leave it to Rabbanon. So the language here is Eina Nisa Kove Mipsar Shlomim Es Chelek Sheni Yochel Ligvos Me Emurim. In other words, you cannot collect from the Emurim, but nevertheless, since the Emurim were no less of a Shem Mazik, an active agent in the Hezek, you should be able to collect from the Basar Keneged HaEmurim. And the Gemara says the following. If you go like the Rabbanon, like the Chachamim, is Pshita. Why? HaAmri, Ki Lekel Ishtalu Mehai, Lo Mishtalma Mehai. If there are two mazikim as a partnership, and each one should be paying his percentage, if one of these two mazikim cannot pay, you cannot collect as a substitute, the entire nezik from that one mazik who can pay. And therefore, as a spin-off, in applying it in the case of Emurim, if you cannot collect from the Emurim, that's not enough for a reason to collect an extra chelek from the Basar. But ve'i alibed Rab Nosson, ha'omar ki lekelish talumi mehai, mishtali mehai. Rab Nosson is on the other end of the extreme. Namely, that you would be able to collect from the Emurim, because Rabbi Nosson is of the opinion that if you have one mazik, you have one of the two mazik who cannot pay, then you collect the entire fee from the other mazik. So that therefore, in this case where we cannot collect from the Emurim, we should collect from the Basar, above and beyond its chelek here in the Nezek, to reflect the Emurim. So for example, let's say, according to Rabbi Nosson, the Balabar can't pay his half, then the Balashar Amazik will pay the entire 100% of the Nezikin. I mean, there's a very fundamental Lamdusha issue here between the Rabban and Rabbi Nosson. How do we view a partnership? Is it really that each one inherently is Chayav as a Mazik for the entire sum? Or no? The partnership is viewed as each one is Chayav half. And the Gemara says that the Nafkamina, of course, is going to be in a case where Yefshar Lishtalumi Mihai. You cannot be gova from one of the two mazikim, so would you be gova his portion from the second mazik? The Chachamim say no, and Rabbi Nosson said yes. So the Gemara now is going to offer a couple of answers as to how to distinguish between the din of Rabbi Abba and the machlokas Chachamim and Rabbi Nosson. Ibai Seima, one answer I could give you is to tell you that Enochinami Rabbi Abba holds like Rabbi Nosson. The Ibois Ema Rabbonon, Rabbi Abba holds like the Rabbonon. The Gemara now explains each one of these two approaches. Ibois Ema, if you're going to say that Rabbi Abba reflects the Shita of the Rabbonon, and you ask me the question, pshita, that you cannot collect from the emurim, hani mili, we would have said that when did the Chacham insist that if one mazik can't pay, there's no recourse to collecting that portion from the other mazik and dump the entire hezek on him? That's only betray goofy. We would argue that that might be in a case of a shor and a bar. Avol b'chad gufa, if there are two different partners in one guf in the mazik, which is a little bit odd to think that you could have two partners in one guf, but we're saying it in the case of a shor tam shehizik, if the shor was behemoth kodshim, because you've got two elements here, you got the bus and the emurim, is matzi amale, perhaps the nizak could turn to the owner of the behemoth shalomim and say, mikol hecha debeinim mishtalimna, I have rights to collect from wherever I can collect. If I can't collect from the emurim, I'm going to collect from the basar, but I'm going to collect from the basar the entire 50% of the hezek. Even if that means that the basar is worth less than that 50% of the hezek, but nevertheless, we're going to add the emurim into the cholent over here for collection of the chol, of the tashlumin ezekin. And therefore, Rabbi Avi had to be mechadesh that even if there are two mazikim in guf echad, you still cannot collect. Again, we're going like the Rabbanan, you still cannot collect from the other shutaf, so to speak, meaning the emurim. Iboy, same, another way of saying is Rabbi Nosan, that ain't a chinami. If you cannot collect from one mazik, you collect his half from the other mazik. Hasam, who. Where did Rabbi Nosson come up with this principle? That's only the case where Reuven Shar pushed Shimon Shar into Levi's bar. The Amar Lei. Who's talking to who? The Amar Lei Baal HaShar LeBaal HaBar. Ana Torai Biberach Ashkechate. I found my shor dead in your bar. Isaac has a very strong argument, which Rabbi Nosson accepts, and that is that the Baal HaShor, in other words, the Nizak, he's called the Baal HaShor, he could turn to the Baal HaBar and he says, look, I found my shor, this is again Shimon talking, my shor in the bottom of your bar, talking to Levi, dead. So therefore, my de lesli lishtalumi hai, if I cannot collect from the Baal HaShor, meaning Reuven's, as the Baal HaShor, mishtalim leminoch, I'm going to collect from you. And now we turn to Yigim Olam Beis, Aval Hocha. But here in the case of Ebehemas Shlomim, mi matzi omer, does the Nizak have such an argument? Basar Azik, Emurim Lo Azik? Obviously, both the boss and the emurim, insofar as they're parts of the live animal, they were mazik ke'echad. There's no svar to say that he can be gover the chelik of the boss or from the chelik of the boss or more than chatzi nezek, even if he cannot collect from the emurim. When there are two independent mazikim here, you know, there's Reuven Shar and Levi's bar, that's one thing. Each one independently, says Reb Nosson, is really chayiv, and then Isaac could say, look, if the Baal HaShor doesn't have the wherewithal to pay, I'm going to collect from the Baal HaBar because my animal was dead on the bottom of your bar. But here, when it's all guf echad, and the Basar and the Emurim are together, it's poshut that the collection of the Tashlum and Ezekin is from the Basar, it's from the Emurim. It's not like the Emurim could substitute for the Basar or vice versa. Now the Gemara wants to present the Shita of Rav Papa with regard to a Karban Todah. And keep in mind that a Karban Todah is also Kodshim Kalim, Omer Rava, Todah Sheizika. If a Karban Todah, a behemoth that was designated for a Karban Todah, was Mazik, and again, if you're talking about a short time, the collection is only migufo, is gove mi bisaro, viena gove mi lachma. When a person brings a carbon todah, he accompanies the carbon todah, the animal itself, with 40 lachamim. And the question is whether these breads are subject to the collectability. The Gemara says, Lechem Pshita. Why would Rava feel compelled to teach me this halacha? What was the Havamina to think that the Nizak could collect from the Lechamim? The Shor was the Mazik, and the din is that you collect Migufo. The Lechem is not part of the Hezek. So Gemara answers, Sefer Itzterchle. We have to read the last part of Rava. We sort of cut off Rava prematurely. Says Rava, Nizak ochel basar umiskaper is mevi lechem. The Nizak, who's now going to collect the behemoth's carbon toda as payment for his nezek, because the in the case of Karen, you pay me gufo, is he's eating the boss of this carbon after they were makriv the emurim. And for that he achieves kapara as the bala karmon. Is therefore, he should have to bring arboim lechamim. Who's going to bring the arboim lechamim? Who's going to be miskaper? Again, the nizak has no relationship to the machayev of carbon toda. You know, he has no reason to bring a carbon toda. You know, he didn't experience some sort of salvation. And therefore, when we say that there's halach of achilas basar that generates kapara, in this case, you have one person who is chayav in the carbon toda. You have another person who is actually eating the basar. Who's going to get kapara? Not the nizak who's eating the basar, because what shaykhis does he have to the kapara of this carbon? He has no relationship to the carbon whatsoever. So the bala carbon is going to achieve kapara vicariously through the achilas basar of the nizak. And therefore, says Rava, he, the owner of the carbon toda, is chayev to bring 40 lechamim. Even though, again, he's not going to eat the basar of the carbon toda, the behemus toda, but he will have to bring the lechamim. Because the lechamim link up not with the achilas basar, but with the kapara. The Gemara right away asks, Honami Pshita. The Nizak is not the one who's mechuyev b'karbon. Why should he be chayev in the lechamim, in bringing the lechamim? Mal detem, I might have thought, Kevon de lechem hechshera de zevachu. That as part of the hakrava and the kapara power of this mitzvah of toda, the lechem is absolutely critical. It's the machshir. It's responsible for giving the carbon its status as a carbon amachaper. Is lemole, the mazik could turn to the nizak, and he could say to him, at achalt basar, you're eating the basar, vana, icy lechem, should I bring the lechem? Wouldn't it make more sense that since you're eating the boss of the carbon, any matir, any hechsher of this carbon that makes the carbon valid and is going to be part of your achil as well? As your achil should engender a kiyum achilas kodshim, and it's got to be behechsher. And the only way it could be behechsher is with the lechamim. So since the lechamim accompany the boss, so you're bringing the boss, so you should bring the lechamim. Kamashmal and Rava wants to teach us, no. The lechem chiyuva de bailim hu. That the obligation to bring the lechem is connected to the miskaper. And it's the bala korban, the nizak, who is... I'm sorry, I said nizak, I meant to say mazik. It's always double-check me on that. It's the Baal HaKarbon, namely the mazik, who is going to achieve kapara through the achilas basar of the nizak, and therefore he, the mazik, as the Baal HaKarbon, is chayev to bring the lechamim. Now let's go back for a moment to the Mishnah Daf Tesam in Beis. The Mishnah formulates the principle of chiyuv nizakin. Is kshahuzku nechasim shehein shel b'nei bris. What is this coming to exclude? The Gemara wants to know, l'me'ute mai. The problem is we have a Mishnah later on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis that says Shor Shal Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shal Ovid Kochavim Potur. I mean that we'll talk about that later on in the Masechta, but that was a bone of contention between Jews and non-Jews. But the halacha is that if you're mazik a shor of a guy, you don't have to pay damages. Is therefore the Gemara says, if lemute mai lemute adiakum is haktoni lel kamon. Why are you repeating that which we know from our Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Tana v'hadam mefarish. This is one of the principles by which we interpret the literature of the Mishnayos. Sometimes the Mishnah will say something in a short, abridged way, and way later, in a later Mishnah, it will go into detail. So here the Mishnah just says, B'nei Bris, Nechasim Shel B'nei Bris. The real subject that's fleshed out with all its details of Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel Akum Potur, that's going to appear in a later Mishnah. And we're going to see this principle of Tanav Adar Mefarish over and over again. The Mishnah says that the chiyuv of nezek is b'nechasim hamyuchadim. That's singular or designated. Lemutei mai. What is that coming to exclude? What is the meaning of nechasim yuchadim? The Gemara answers on Rabbi Yehuda. Lemutei ze'omer sharcha hizik v'ze'omer sharcha hizik. Let's say there are two potential mazikim in this scenario. In other words, we don't have witnesses that could clarify exactly which shor was the shor of mazik. Is it the shor of Reuven or is it the shor of Shimon? And the nizak comes along and he wants to collect from these two bailim, these two potential mazikim. And the halacha is, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to tell us, that you need nechasim yuchadim. Meaning the mazik has to be a specific shor, you know bevados, without any question, that was the shor mazik. And any nechasim that are in a safek, that's not called miuchadim, because maybe they were mazik, maybe they weren't mazik. In such a case, there is no collection of nezikin. But to clarify this point, we have to explain Rabbi Yehuda in the following way. What does the Mishnah mean when it says nechasim miuchadim? Let's say we're not in a case like I told you before where the suffix is where the shor shel Reuven was mazik or the shor shel Shimon was mazik. We have a suffix as to which of these two shvarim was mazik, but they're both owned by the same bailim. That's called miuchadim nechasim miuchadim, and therefore the nizak could come to the one owner of these two shvarim and say, you owe me tashlum in Ezekin because your shor was mazik me. Now, of course, assuming Reuven, the owner of the two shvarim, is the mazik, he's going to turn back to the nizak. He says, what do you mean my shor was mazik you? Which shor? And the answer is that the nizak cannot identify exactly which shor, but that doesn't matter. That's not a valid counter-argument. Why? Because it is nechasim miuchadim, since Reuven owns both these animals, we know that he's chayav. The Gemara is not happy with Rabbi Yehuda's statement and his interpretation of our Mishnah, because hatani l'kamon. We in fact have this in a Mishnah later on, Adaf Lamed Hay. The Mishnah says, "Are you shnayim?" There were two oxen that were owned by two different people, by Reuven and Shimon. Rodfim achar echad. So these two oxen were chasing after one shor in order to damage it, and then we find the shor dead. Ze Omer, one of the owners of the two shvarim, the mazikim, says, shor chehizik, it's always easy to pass the buck. Ze Omer, shor chehizik ishneim pturin. Because what are you going to do? You're going to come to Reuven and say, you pay the damages? You're going to come to Shimon? It's always going to be a safek. And halacha is, in Tidi Momenes, amotzi mechavel avaraya. So Gemara answers, Tani v'hadam mefarish. Here's another example of that principle, that sometimes a Mishnah early in the Masechta will give you a general principle, and only later in a Mishnah later on will the Mishnah flesh it out and give us the details. The Gemara now brings a brisa And based on this brisa, we can interpret our Mishnah differently. V'masnisa tana pratlin nichsei hefker. When the Mishnah says nechasim yuchadim, it's coming to exclude ownerless possessions or objects. Well, what does that mean? Hechidami, what's the case? Elam, if it's a case of dinogach Torah didan, litor de hefker, if Reuven Shar destroyed a Shar of hefker, man tovale. If there's no Mazik who can claim ownership over the Shar that was killed, who is going to sue the Shar Mazik or the owner of the Shar Mazik for damages? Why did the Mishnah have to say that there's no Chiv damages? There's not even anyone suing him for damages. And no one can sue him for damages. Ela, but it must be the Nogach Torah de Hefker le Torah de Dan, that this Shar Hamazik was ownerless, was Hefker. So then what's the issue here? Why does the Mishnah say that the dinim of Nezika don't apply? Lezo v'leze, let the Nezika go, take the Shar for himself. Who is preventing him from doing so? There's no owner of the Shar. So this whole concept of Shar Shanogach, Shar Shal Hefker, and the Mishnah is coming to exclude Nezika, and it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara answers, Bishakodam vizochabo. What happens if after the Maisa Hezek, Reuven, we have to get the name straight here, but let's say there's a Shar Shal Hefker, which was Mazik Shimon Shar, and now Reuven comes along and he makes a kinyan on the Shar Mazik, the Shar, and now the question is whether he becomes responsible to pay damages. So this is called Kadam or Kidem Vizachabo. And what it means is that now there's a half minute to say that the person who is Zocha in this Behemoth Hefka that was Mazik, and the Nizak now would like to collect his damages from the Shar Mazik, and the answer is the Mishnah is telling us, according to this interpretation, that the Nizak has no recourse to collect compensation from this Shar Hamazik, which was Hefker at the time of the Maisa Hezek. And we don't say, well, now there's an owner of the Shar, let him collect from the Shar now, because this Shar is owned by a particular individual. But rather, the Shasa Hezek is the critical moment. Now the Gemara quotes Ravina's understanding of the mission of Nechasim Yuchadim. Ravina Omar Lim'ute Nogach V'achkach Higdish. Let's say that Reuven owns the Shar Hamazik, and after the Maisa Hezek, Reuven went ahead and he was Magdish, the animal, the Shar Mazik L'Mizbeach, or L'Berek HaBayis, as Kedushas Domim. And additionally, Nogach V'Acherkach Hifkir. Let's say Reuven's Shar was Nogach, and then Reuven was Mafkir, the animal. This is the exact flip side of the case that we had earlier. And in these cases, the Mazik is potter for tashlumin. Why? Because by the time we get around to, for Beznik to collect, based on the facts and the figures, from the Shar Mazik, at that moment the Shar Mazik is mufka from Dine Nezikin, because it's a Shar Shal Hegdesh, right? We say Re'eru V'lo Shal Hegdesh, and it's a Shar Shal Hefker, it's ownerless. The Gemara now supports Ravina from a Braisa, Tanya Nami Hochi. We have Machlokas Chachom and Rabbi Yehuda later on in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalid with regard to a Shar Shal Hefker Shehemis Adam, a belligerent Shar which was ownerless killed a man. And the question is whether we put the Shar to death or not. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and the Chachom say no. And the Braisa adds something to that Mishnah and says, Yeser Al Kain. Rabbi Yehuda says that Yechayev, that the Shor is Chayev Skiwa, even though it's a Shor Shalev. He goes even a step further. He says, Afilu Nogach V'Achakach Higdish, Nogach V'Achakach Hifkir Potur. Shenemar, this is derived from a pasuk, and we're talking about potu, we're talking about the Baal Ashor being potu from Tashlume Kofer for Shoshemis Adam. The pasuk says, Vehu ad bivola vehemis ish. And then it says at the end of the pasuk, Hashor Yisok of a gambol of Yumas. So the pasuk mentions Bolov at the beginning of a Huad Bibolov. That's called the Shas HaDor, when they warn the owner of the Shor to watch his Shor. And then when it says Gambol of Yumas, which means Shas Misa, that also is connected to the Bolov. And Rabbi Yehuda derives from this that Ad Shetei Misa V'Hamada B'Din Shavin Ke'echad. We need the Rishus of the ownership of the Baal Ashor from the time of the Negich that was responsible for the death of this human victim, Nebuch, up until the Shas HaMada B'Din. If in between the Negicha and the HaMada B'Din there was no Bailov, because the Bailim went ahead and were Magdish the Shor, were Mafkir the Shor, then the Shor is Potter from Skila. So it's interesting, even though we would have drawn the conclusion from Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Shor Shel Hefker Shemis Adam, that Rabbi Yehuda sees the Skila as a punishment for the Shor itself, or perhaps a protection of society, and therefore who cares about the fact that the Bailim were Mafkir the Shor. But nevertheless, there's a Gzeres HaKosov here, derived from the Pasuk V'Huad B'Volav Hemis Ish, that you need a connection between the Shas Negicha and the Shas HaModa B'Din, and it's got to be Shoven Ki Echad, meaning that there's Rishus, there's an ownership of one person that spans the two times, you know, T1 and T2, the time of the Negicha with the time of HaModa B'Din. The Gemara now asks, V'ugmar hadin lo be'inon. When you're putting all the emphasis here in this brisa on Shas HaModa B'Din, what about the third stage, the final stage, namely the Shas Gmar Din? Don't you need that it should belong to the Bailim even at time T3, a later time, meaning at the time of Gmar Din? Ha Hashor Yisokel B'Gmar Din Hu Dichsiv. After all, this pasuk is referring to the Gemar Din. It says Hashor Yisokel Ela Ema. So the Gemara sort of revamps the brayse a little bit. Ad Shetei Misav Hamada B'Din Ugmar Din Shavim Kechad. We have to actually have one bailus of one owner from that spans all these three zmanim from beginning to end. Now the Mishnah said Chutz mi rishus hamyuchedes lamazik, which means if the nizak came into the rishus hamazik and he was damaged, there's no chiyuv tashlume nizikin. The Gemara says, what's the case? Or shall we say, what's the reason for this din? The Amar Leih, the mazik turns to the nizak and he says, Torcha b'rishusi, my boy, what was your shor doing in my rishus? In other words, if your shor goes into my backyard, and I never gave any permission to that, then basically you're responsible for your shor. The shor was mazik itself. Then the Mishnah says, chutz mirishus hamyucheres lamazik, rishus hanizak vehamazik. Kishehizek chava mazik l'sham tashlumi nezek b'meitav haaretz. So now the Gemara is going to bring a distinction here, and a whole machlokes about Shor Shehizik Rishus Shutfim. Because the phrase Rishus HaNizik V'Hamazik is ambiguous. Does it go back to the Reish of the Chutz, or is it attached to the Sefer Kishehizik Chav HaMazik L'Shalim? Omer Avchizda Omer Avimi Chotzer HaShutfim, a Chotzer which is considered Rishus of both the Nizak and the Mazik, Chayev Ba Al Hashein V'Al HaRegel. In other words, Rav Chizda is interpreting the Mishnah of Rishus HaNizek V'Hamazik as going back, as attached to the forward, you know, fast forward to the end of the Mishnah, is Chav HaMazik L'Shalem.
V'hachi kamer, and here's how he, Rav Chisda, interprets the Mishnah. Chutz m'shus ha-mi'cheres l'mazik, de'patur, u'shus ha-nizak v'ha-mazik, k'she'hizak chav ha-mazik. So he takes that middle phrase of Rishus HaNizak V'Mazik, attaches it to the last phrase of the Mishnah, and Yechayev to pay. Rav Elazar Amar, he disagrees with Rav Chisda, and he says that in a chotzer that is owned in partnership by both the Mazik and Nizak Potur, Al HaShein V'Al HaRegel, and the reason for that is because in the parsha of Shein V'Regel, it says, Ubir B'Stei Acher, Stei Acher means it is the Sodeh of the Nizak, and that's when you pay for Shein V'Regel. But a Chotz HaShutfim is not included in Ubir B'Stei Acher. Ah, how does Rabbi Lozer read the Mishnah? Hachi Kamer. This is what the Mishnah means. Chutz M'Rishus HaMiyuchedes L'Mazik U'Rishus HaNizak V'Mazik Nami Potter. Means Rishus HaNizak V'Mazik is going back to the previous phrase where you're Potter. And then, period. Now there's a new phrase. K'shehizik Chav HaMazik L'Sham Tashlumi Nezik Meitav Oretz. And again, even though Lechori you would say there's no chiddush in this din that the mazik has to pay meitav, we already learned that back on Daf Beis. But nevertheless, the Tana wants to say lasuye keren, because again, we didn't have keren in our Mishnah, at least according to Shmuel, because Shmuel identifies Shor as regel. And therefore, we have this extra phrase in the Mishnah of Chehiza Kava Mazik to include the case of Keren. Ha-nicha, that makes sense, l'das Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who holds that Shor in our Mishnah, is in the first Mishnah, is Regel. Now we need a ribui for Keren, but El Rav Di Omar, Tona Shor v'chol mili, the Shor in the first Mishnah includes Shein, Regel, but also Keren, is therefore, why do we need this ribui, Chava Mazik, l'suyimai, what's coming to include? And the Gemara answers, Lasuye Chodetan Rabbanon Shehizik Chav HaMazik Lahavi Shomer Chinam VaShoel Nosei Socher VaSocher. These are four shomer that accepted an animal to watch. And then Shehizika Behema Bershuson. Now, that's a very ambiguous phrase. The Gemara is going to try to pick this up later and see what it means. Let's say, for argument's sake, it means that the shor went out and damaged someone else. Tam mishalim chatzi nezek, mu mishalim nezek shalem. In other words, these shomrim are responsible to pay the nizak. They're not only mechuyev to the bailim, the mafkid, but also to the nizak. And nifritza balayla. However, if the animal broke out of its pen, of its corral at night, and it wasn't a pshi on the part of the shomer, Osher partzu alistim, or robbers came in and they broke in, and they took the animal out, v'yotza v'zika pot. Omar mar, now the Gemara wants to analyze this price, k'shehizik chava mazik lohavi shomachinom, v'ashol nosi socher v'asocher. Hey, dummy, what's the case? Ilema di azke Torah de Mashil, le Torah de Shoel. The Mishnah is establishing a chiyuv. I'm sorry, the price is establishing, based on the ribui in the Mishnah, a chiyuv to pay in the case of a hezek to in Shomrim, if it was the shor of the owner that was mazik, the shor of the Shoel. Why would there be a chiyuv to pay damages? Meaning, the mashal is going to have to pay the shoel. Is lemele the mashal could say to the shoel, ilu azik the alma, if someone else's animal had attacked this animal, is boyis l'shlume at, you would have to pay for that. Is hashta de azke l'torah didach the ina l'shlume? Let's just clarify the case. Reuven gives a shor over to Shimon. Shimon, as a shomer, is called a shoel in this particular case. And he has to make sure that that shor is protected properly. Now, the shor of the mashil, which means the shor that was given over to the shoel for protection, and the shoel is now responsible for that shor, went out and damaged one of the shvarim of the shoal himself. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, the Azkei Torah de Mashil, the Torah de Shoel. So if you imagine in your mind the scenario where Reuven takes in Shimon's shor to protect it, and he mixes Shimon's shor, again he puts a name on it, a name tag on the ear, but he takes Shimon's shor together with all of his own shvarim, and now Shimon's shor is mazik Reuven the Shoel's shor. And the question is, what logical justification can you have in assuming that the mashil would have to pay damages? It doesn't make any bit of sense, because if the shoel is responsible to watch his animal, and as part and parcel of that chiyuv shmir has to make sure that that animal is not nogeach other animals, so how then can we expect the mashil, who's the owner of the shor mazik now in this case, to pay damages? I mean, it was the shomer who himself has to protect this shor in such a way that it doesn't go out to damage. In effect, the baal ashor mazik, which is the mashil in this case, he has transferred the responsibility to watch the shor, make sure it's not mazik, over to the shoel himself. And therefore, the shoel is the one who's responsible if this shor goes out and damages. So again, even though the shoel now is the proud owner of a dead shor, and that shor was killed by the mashil's shor, he has no recourse to demand payment and compensation from the mashil, insofar as the fact that he, the shoel, is responsible for that shor to make sure that shor of the mashil doesn't go out and damage. So it's his pshia that caused his own loss. Ella, so the Gemara says, nay, that's not the case. The Azke Torah de Shoel le Torah de Mashil. In this case, what happened was the shor of the Shoel was Mazik, the shor of the Mashil. And the Mishnah wants to teach us that the Shoel is chayav for the nizkei shor ha-mashil. So the Gemara says, why is that so? Lemole, the mashil should turn to the shoel and say, ilu itzak me alma bois l'shlume kuli tura hashed itzak torah didach palga nizka hu de mishalmas li. So the Mishnah is telling me, and this is what the Gemara can't understand, that if the shor of the shoel is responsible for the death of the shor of the mashil, the shor of the mashil is the shor that was handed over from the mashil to the shoel to be guarded by the shoel. And now you're going to tell me that the chiyuv nezikin here on the part of the baal hamazik, meaning of the shoel, is to pay chatzi nezik because of the shor tam? That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because imagine if this shor that was given over from the mashil to the shoel was not guarded properly, or even in onsim, the shoel's chayiv, and that shor was killed by someone else, the shoel would have to pay the mashil a full price. It's irrelevant to whether the shor mazik was a shor tam or a shor mua. It means that the shor of the mashil, which was now given over to the custody of the shoel, is dead. Then obviously the shoel is going to have to pay full damages, 100% of the value of the shor to the mashil, because a shoel is chayav for nezikin. He's chayav even for onsim. And therefore, if the shor of the shoel himself killed the shor of the mashil, how much more so would the shoel, who cannot now return the shor that he was responsible for watching over to the mashil, you will have to pay him nezek sholem. The Gemara answers, Li olam di azke Torah de mashil li Torah de shoel. We're going to take that last scenario. The shor of the mashil was damage the shor of the shoel. Or this is the earlier ukimta, not the last ukimta, right? So we're talking about the shor of the mashil killed the shor of the shoel. And if the kash is going to be, well, you know, the mashil should be potur, is hachamayaskinon shekibol olav shmiras gufo, and on the top of your dal is lo kibol olav shmiras nizakov. So what happened here was that when the shoel accepted achrayus for the shor of the mashil, he took upon himself achrayus to watch the shor, that it shouldn't be damaged by others, but he never accepted upon himself shmiras nizak of the shoel. Again, that's going to be very difficult in terms of the sefer, this price of nifritza palayla. But be it as it may, before we get to that kasha, let's just understand the inner logic of the Gemara's answer over here. So again, we're talking about the following scenario. Ruvein the Mashil hands over a shor, which turns out to be a shor amazik, over to the shoel. And that shor, which is the shor of the Mashil, that's in the custody of the shoel, now damages another shor in the herd of the shoel. And the question that we asked is, why should the mashil be responsible to pay for the death of the shor of the shoel? Adarab, the one who's responsible for shmiras nezikin is the shoel. He accepted responsibility for this animal, and if that animal now damaged, it's really he who has to pay. In this case, he's not paying anyone because he himself has a dead, the shoel himself has a dead shor now in his herd. But the Gemara says that if this is a case of lo kibul olav shmiras nizakov, in other words, he's not responsible to protect the shor from being mazik others. Therefore, the chiyuv shmira on this shor that it shouldn't be mazik others remains in the domain of the bailim. And if the shor of the mashil was mazik the shor of the shoel, then the shoel has recourse to demand payment. But ihachi, what do we do with the sefer? Nifritza b'laylo shepartzua listim v'yotza v'izika potur. These are extenuating circumstances because it was laila or it was listim that let the animal out. And that's why the shomer is potur if this animal went out and was mazik others. Ha bayom chayav. Had it been during the day, or it wasn't the listim that came out, then the shomer, whichever shomer he is, would have to pay damages to the nizakim, to those whose animals were destroyed. Is what you're going to have to say is, ha, lo kibel olav, shmiras nizakov. How could it be that had it been yom, he would be chayav, the shomer would be chayav to pay the nizak? After all, he never accepted upon himself shmiras nizakim. So the Gemara answers, "Hachi ka'amar." We have to add something to the brisa, a few extra words that are missing. In kibel olav shmiras nizakov chayav. In other words, there's a clause in this brisa that's missing. We have to fill it in. It wedges between the previous case and the last case of nifritza b'layla. In the previous case, he was not mekabel on himself shmiras nizakov, and therefore if the shoel himself has now a dead shor that was the shor nizak that was killed by the shor mashil, then he has recourse to get reimbursed by the shor mashil, by the mashil, because the mashil remains responsible for any nizakin. And then you have to add to the price, but him kibel olav shmiras nizakov. If the shomer accepted upon himself not just the protection, the defense of the shor, but also the offense of the shor, he's responsible to make sure that doesn't happen, is chayev, then the shomer has to pay tashlumi nezek. But nifritza b'layla shepartzua list him under those extenuating circumstances, yasi zika potur, that he's not responsible for, there was no element of Pshia. We'll stop here.